Hey everybody, welcome back to the Blade Runner Minute, our podcast where we talk about the film Blade Runner, 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete.
And I'm Sandra.
And today we're talking about minute 31. 31 starts with Chu selling out J.F. Sebastian. It ends with Deckard getting on an elevator. So we get the sixth planet of the Hoth system, finally. We get out of here. We get out of the cold.
Yay!
What'd you think of the minute?
It doesn't have any action, really. Right? Let's be honest.
Arguable. I call the conversation between Roy and Chu an action.
Well, it wasn't even a conversation. From
my taste, I loved it.
He says, J.F. Sebastian, and he goes, where can I find him, right?
Where would we find this? He leans back. Roy leans back in a really confident... I got you.
I got it.
I don't even have to kill you, but I'm gonna anyway. Tell me what I need to know. What makes a replicant...
So it's not a conversation, right? Because he just asks a question. We don't hear Chu's answer, but obviously we know what's gonna happen because it cuts to the next scene.
Well, you know, they spoke at each other. So it could be construed as a conversation.
Yes.
Roy Batty's a creepy dude.
He's real creepy. Is Rucker Howard, is that creepy though, right?
I don't know about that. Well, I do know about that because I've met the guy.
You went bicycle riding with him?
He's sickle. But this Roy Batty character that...
he gives me the creeps.
...that he plays is really, really masterfully creepy.
He makes you feel really uncomfortable. It's weird that they're showing two replicants that we know of that are... They make you feel really uncomfortable. Like, they're creepy. One's not very bright. The other one seems too smart. They feel oily when you're speaking to them. And then you have...
They feel oily?
There's just something, like, not savory about them.
Oh, not savory.
Yeah, you can just...
Wow, what an indictment.
First off, when we saw Rory's fingers all discolored, mm-hmm. you know, from whatever job he was doing or whatever it is... It was just, it's unsettling. The characters are very unsettling.
At this point, because I've seen the movie so many times, I'm assuming that the discoloration of his fingers and skin is due to him dying, his replicant skin decaying. Like isn't he seizing right now?
When they
right
die,
now?
Do they decay or do they die and just die, right? So we don't know that.
I don't know.
I would assume it's from the chemicals off world that they had to work with.
Sure. Well, either way, it's just a movie, man. Don't take it so either seriously. Way. Jesus Christ.
Well, we're watching it 1 minute at a time, how much more seriously can I take it?
You think Chu's human? It's funny you said the two replicants. Why wouldn't you assume Chu's just a replicant slave? Forced to make eyeballs, because they killed him. So, you could kill replicants.
There's something about him that doesn't feel
you
like...
You realize everybody's replicants. A replicant in this movie at this point, right?
Okay. Now, you interrupted my thought from before.
I'm sorry.
The other replicant we saw was Rachel. A replicant that doesn't know she's a replicant. And she's cold, but doesn't make you feel the same kind of uncomfortable. She just feels like uptight.
Okay.
Like an uptight secretary.
They're all adhering to their roles.
Right, so like, she doesn't give you any kind of warm fuzzies, but she doesn't feel like she's going to necessarily hurt you. If I met her in an alley type of thing.
So really, really great acting is what you're saying, because she's designed to be an assistant in the office and make people feel comfortable enough to do business, but not homey comfortable. You're not at home. Don't lounge. Let's do our business with Mr. Terrell. I'll help you organize your paperwork and the figures and all that stuff. I'll get you maybe a cup of tea, and then you're on your way. She's not designed to make you feel like you're in there with your aunt making cookies. Roy and Leon, on the other hand, aren't designed to be social at all. So it all makes sense.
Right,
they're doing a great job.
Roy Batty was what, like security, the militia.
Yeah, they were all
and he
warriors,
was a
factory workers, and soldiers.
I just mean like the model that he is.
Yeah, they were all combat units, right?
No, they weren't all. I'm just Roy. Didn't they give the little comment?
I'm confusing the crawl with the actual characters. Did you drop something?
I dropped my pencil.
Do you want to go get your pencil?
No,
I can cut around that.
That's okay. It's a nice little addition. I dropped my pencil. It got stuck on my watch and it fell.
Do you need another pencil?
No, I can get one if I do. I like that one. They had a nice sharp point on it.
Did you get your precious pencil?
I didn't get it, but I'll get it at the end of the episode. I don't want to hit my head by bending down.
So Chu's a replicant. What else you got?
Chu is not a replicant.
Why would you not think Chu's a replicant?
I don't feel like he is. He's so much more emotional than the three replicants we've seen.
I would think anybody who has a duty in this movie is a replicant.
And he had the breath, and the other two didn't.
He was just there for a while. He's cold. He's colder than them.
And erroneous.
They open the door and
listen. Erroneous.
I'm just messing with you.
He had to be in the suit, and they didn't have to be in the suit.
I get you.
So I disagree with
Speaking
you.
Speaking of suits, I loved Roy's jacket, that heavy leather jacket, similar
like the buckles and stuff.
Similar to, and I'm surprised I didn't notice it before. Similar to Kay's in 2049, where it's got the high collar.
I figured whoever was the designer.
I'm assuming that's
the costume designer for 2049 used this as inspiration, right?
I'm proving myself
ignorant,
so unworthy of this task, because I looked up the costume designer for this movie, Michael Kaplan. And Charles Knode. But Michael Kaplan, I recognize from Star Wars Episode 7, Force Awakens, really talented cat.
What else did he do?
He probably did 2049, but I'm not going to go out on a limb.
We're not up to 2049, it doesn't matter.
No, that's okay. But my point is, I looked him up for this movie and I didn't go any further. Like, I just saw this in Force Awakens and I was just like, well, that's all the information I need. So I'm doing a bang.
And then there's Charlie.
Bang up job.
Charlie Knode.
Charles Knode?
Yeah.
What do you got for Charles Knode?
Charles Knode.
I got won, Braveheart.
He did Braveheart.
The costume design for Braveheart.
He won a BAFTA for it.
Oh, cool.
He won a BAFTA for it. He's the one who put them in plaid kilts, even though they didn't wear kilts then.
Is that true?
Yeah, they didn't. During Braveheart, the actual character, William whatever his name is.
William Wallace. Don't say whatever his name is.
Yeah, whatever, because I'm not allowed to watch Mel Gibson movies in the house anymore. But they didn't wear kilts at the time.
Do you want to tell people why we're not allowed to watch Mel Gibson movies?
My mother does not like Mel Gibson because he's an anti-Semite, so I'm not allowed to watch any Mel Gibson movies in her presence. Which is funny because she used to really like
What Women Want.
Which was a good movie. You can't tell me you didn't watch it 1,000 times cramping when it was on cable.
Cramping my Lethal Weapon marathon style, but that's okay. So no kilts during that time.
There were no kilts during the time, and he also put belt on it, and that wasn't classically how they did it. So that belt thing works, right? He did it here, belt like buckles.
Wow.
He put it on the kilt. He also did something else that I liked. I can't remember off the top of my head. It'll come back to me before the end of the podcast.
Good.
But yeah.
So Roy's coat is amazing. Yeah. I love it.
But yeah, that kilt thing was like a big controversy. You don't remember that
when the movie came out? I don't remember at all. This is complete news to me.
Oh, look, I taught you something.
Complete news to me.
But yeah, he did that. Getting back to the minute.
Yeah.
After Roy asks where.
I just said again. Like T-Pain.
Go ahead, T-Pain.
Go ahead.
We see a long tunnel. And we see a car. A vehicle.
It's the spinner.
Sure.
It's in street.
And it's raining.
Form.
And there are no windshield wipers going on the car. I don't understand. I can't imagine what it's like to live in my head. But everything's wet. And it's clearly raining. And he doesn't have the wipers on. I can't even remember if he had the lights on. But I know he didn't have the wipers on. And I'm like, you gotta have your wipers on.
So at the base of the hood of the car, where the windshield wiper fluid would shoot out.
Yeah.
There's high velocity air vents that push
the
rainwater off of the windshield like a car wash.
Did you see the rain moving off of it that way?
No, I just made that up.
Okay,
wouldn't
that
be cool? Isn't that a cool thing?
I got my pencil back, by the way.
Isn't that a cool thing?
In case anybody was worried, I picked it up
real
casual.
Yeah, it's a beautiful wide shot of that tunnel, that
wet
tunnel.
With all the lights glistening, like reflecting off the rainwater that's coating it.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. You don't know who's in the car yet.
Deckard's reviewing.
But you hear an audio.
You're holding.
You hear Holden asking the questions of Leon, but he goes, tell me about your mother. And on this audio it says, I'll tell you about my mother. And
which is a different delivery.
Bang. But in the actual scene
half
hour ago, he said what? He said...
What did he say in this one?
He said, I'll tell you about my mother. But in the actual one, he said,
let me tell you about my mother. Let me tell you about
him. So the first 7,000 times I watched this, I thought he was listening to the actual like audio tape of it.
Right.
And now I think he was replaying it in his head and we were just getting like the inside picture of what's going on in his mind.
Okay.
Like that's like just like he's replaying it. It's his inner monologue, I guess, would be what I said. What it would be.
Okay. I don't think that's true, though. I think he's just reviewing.
But it's a different.
Yeah. Well, they do that in movies. You don't remember that as a kid? Lots of movies from the 80s when they would replay
the scene. I'm sure, but I would like to take it.
Because they used an alternate cut.
I'd like to take it as it's his inner monologue.
That's fine.
It works better for me.
Okay. I think he was just doing his job.
Can we just say that it's his inner monologue?
Yeah, sure. Can we
put a survey when we put this one up and say who agrees with Sandra and who likes pizza?
You could do that yourself. Yeah.
No, I don't have time for that because I have to be near a computer to put up a survey. It doesn't work right on my phone. Okay. And I can't Facebook at work.
So Deckard's coming home.
We don't know that.
Well, he comes into a building. He comes into an elevator.
He gets into an elevator.
The elevator says voice print identification and floor number, please.
Yeah, and it's Sigourney Weaver.
I don't think the voice is Sigourney 100% Weaver?
100% it's Sigourney Weaver. Okay, 99% I'm sure Sigourney Weaver.
The voice of the elevator?
It sounds like Sigourney Weaver. Because it's Ridley Scott, so I'm going with it. It's Sigourney Weaver. We always come back to Sigourney.
Sigourney Weaver.
Because she's so awesome. We always come back to that Sigourney. It would be cool if he was like, hey, can you do a thing for me? She'd be like, I could do a thing for you. What's the thing?
I looked it up. You mentioned that before we started recording, and I looked it up, and I couldn't.
Nobody has any information anything. On I mean, who
I
the
didn't,
voices.
I didn't look that deeply, but it wasn't like the first two.
It wasn't on IMDb as like an un-whatever cameo.
Oh, you looked a little deeper?
Oh, I looked. It doesn't give you anyone who did the voice at all. It's not even like the way Johnny Depp had the fake name for Nightmare on Elm Street. There's no name. There's no information on who did the elevator voice, which leads me to believe that it was Sigourney Weaver.
You know what? It's Sigourney Weaver.
And like, and if the internet had been around then, like the way it is now, I really think people would have known the way people know Daniel Craig was a stormtrooper because he just happened to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think
Force Awakens.
Whatever. Yeah.
Daniel Craig was a stormtrooper in Force Awakens.
So I think it's the same kind of thing. Like, hey, can you do this thing for me? It may not have happened on set.
Okay.
He may have just had her like, hey, can you, like, you're here. Can you do this?
So Deckard says 97. He says Deckard 97.
Deckard 97.
Gives her his name. He gives Sigourney his name and his floor number.
His floor number.
She takes him up to 97.
How many floors do you think are in that building?
97. He's on the top floor.
He's not on the top floor.
He's absolutely on the
top
floor.
What makes you assume that it's the top floor?
Because they only build buildings up to 97 floors. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because what would give you that assumption?
How the hell would I know? I don't know.
Because it's
I know the building, though, that they're in.
Okay.
Did you look up the building?
No.
I looked up the building.
I didn't do homework.
Because I love the design of the elevator. It had lots of cubes and cubes within cubes.
Are you going to say it's Art Deco again? I know you like Art Deco.
Oh, it looked like Mayan to me. It looked like a Mayan temple.
So did, like, the Tyrell Corporation on the outside.
It's called the Ennis House.
The Ennis House? Can we go there?
It's in Los Angeles. Los Angeles. It's based on Mayan temples. It's a national landmark. But I don't think they filmed inside of it. From what I understand, from what I remember, what I read, they only the motor court where Deckard parked was actually shot. So I don't know if they used the facade of the building or the set designer.
Copied it.
Yeah,
this is why this movie was so expensive. Because instead of just going into the building.
Just build a building.
No, but instead of going into the building and shooting, they rebuilt aspects of it.
Well, I guess they couldn't get in there.
No, something else must have happened. I bet he was weird to them, Ridley Scott, or the people he sent to ask them, and they were just like, no, I don't want to help you, and I don't want to do this.
The wankers won't let me use building. Bollocks. I sound like Palpatine a little bit.
Bollocks.
Let me use your building, you wankers.
They should have explicit rating for people overseas now, right?
Who?
Because we said wanker and bollocks.
I think I said MF-er on, like 20 episodes ago.
But that's not a big deal in UK. But here, but in UK,
I think MF is a big deal everywhere. But I hear what you're saying. I agree with you. Yes, we're going to put a warning on this that I cussed. I try to put cuss warnings because I know some people
listen in the car with the kids.
Probably listen in the car like I do with the kids. And I get a little weirded out when I'm listening to a podcast with our daughter. And there's a cuss. And I'm like,
only with our daughter, not the other daughters?
Well, the other two probably wouldn't understand. I watch Goodfellas in front of those two. They're three.
But those kids are real cool.
So. They're not going to know what's going on. The six-year-old, though, got to be careful because she'll just repeat that stuff.
Oh, like she got in trouble last year for saying GD in school?
So what else you got? Well, he's looking at the lamp. That's scary.
I was looking at the notes. That's
scary as hell. I asked you what you got. You look at the lamp?
You distracted my train of thought from before. There are pictures
of animals on that lamp,
Sandra.
I want
to go back to this thing about the 97 floors, though. You see, you distracted me for 3 minutes.
Oh, no,
no.
I was just kidding. He's on floor 97. I couldn't find out how many floors were in that building because it's you know, the Ennis building is just what they took.
No, no. So the can design. I tell you why I'm curious?
Oh, sure.
Okay. I figure it's going to be like... in 1,000 sci-fi fantasy movies.
Thousands of years from
that
now.
That trope of the lower you are, the less your status, and the higher you are, the higher your status. So like Tyrell Corporation.
Hit me with this. What do you, give me some back story to this.
Okay,
you,
of course, huh?
Okay,
right?
why do you
read
this?
The books
where is
for
this
the
from?
EU, when you were on the low floors, it was poor people, like people who didn't have anything. And when you were on the high floors above the dirt and the smog, you had money. Same thing in like Fifth Element. If you were higher up, you had cleaner air.
So
if you were lower...
classic literature or something? Are you getting this from?
No, it's from sci-fi and fantasy. It's all over the place in sci-fi
okay,
and fantasy.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so Tyrell Corporation, the same thing. Like, they're so high up, you can see the sunset. You don't have that smog and dust. So I'm curious to know what floor he's on to see where he falls in status, higher up.
97 right? Seems pretty high to me.
You don't know. The building could have, like, 200,
I don't know.
200 floors.
You're totally right. But even with 200 floors, 97 seems high enough that he's, like, at least... respected a bit. Like, he's eating.
Like
oh, he goes out on the balcony in the next minute or two.
We don't know that yet.
That's okay. No, don't worry about that rule from now on.
I know,
okay.
but
you know
for
what?
The question.
Our we got, like, two people that listen to the show. And...
David.
Don't name them. Anonymity. We got two people that listen to the show, and...
Are you going
to
bleep?
They're
you
right.
Bleep
Blade Runner is not like any other movie. So it's difficult to stay
in
within... 1 minute, because it's an existential flick. It's about creation and life and humanity and what these things mean. And to just stay within the minute and pretend that we don't know what's going to happen next and leave out certain characters and facts and events, that's we're really limiting ourselves.
Okay.
So I think it's okay within reason. Like, right now, we're just talking about how many floors are in his building. And for us to pretend that we don't know is irresponsible of us.
We really don't know.
We don't know, but he is up on his balcony pretty high up later
on. We can't talk, but I don't... I don't really want to talk
about
that.
I'm breaking
the
rules.
I don't like it. I don't like that you're breaking that rule.
Well, if you don't like it, then that's what counts. No problem.
Because then what am I going to talk about when I get up to that minute? Because I already talked about how it relates.
You can talk about the map paintings and models and stuff that from
yeah,
that
no.
view.
You see, no. Let's stick to what I know from this minute. From this minute, I don't know.
Oh, you're mad because you didn't do enough research. You didn't.
No,
you
I have notes for this minute. I don't
We've
have notes for the next.
Exposed you.
Just so everyone knows, we're gonna do the next minute right now.
On the fly.
And I don't have any notes. I'm gonna write them as we go. So if it's terrible, I'm really sorry. I was really busy this month.
I'm going to cut all that out.
No, leave it. They should know.
I don't want anybody knowing that we're humans with real lives.
They're going to know
they
human.
Should think we're replicants.
When is this coming out?
Programmed to
when
do
will,
a,
how, what
they
number
should
are
think
we up
we're
to?
Replicants okay. Programmed to do a terrible podcast.
My name is Sandra.
And my name is Peter. And we'll catch you for minute 32 later.
So for now